Assalamu alaikum, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Muslima Podcast. I'm Asma, your host, and today I'm so excited to be speaking to Khadija, who is the founder of Ramadan and Juliet at Ramadan and Juliet on Instagram. Khadija is an entrepreneur as well as a speech pathologist, and she's located in Texas. We're going to be talking to her today about her new business venture as well as past business ventures that she has learned lessons from. Ramadan Mubarak to everybody, and I hope you enjoy the episode. Assalamu alaikum, Khadija.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, Asma.
Of course. And I'm so happy to have you on the podcast and hear all of the important lessons that you've learned from all of your businesses. And I really hope that people will benefit from it. So for the first question I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to start Ramadan and Juliet? And tell me more about what it provides to the Muslim community.
Yes. Okay. So my inspiration behind Ramadan and Juliet, this is my baby. So I love to decorate. I love to decorate for Ramadan, for Eid every year. It's a big deal for me. But I typically have to end up doing decorations by hand every year to fit the needs that I have for myself. I want like bold, bright, beautiful colors. Things that have flowers, like I want it to be very feminine and have a nice touch to it. So I end up having to make decorations every year. And so that's really what brought up the interest of me creating Ramadan and Juliet, because I just found that there was a deficit out there. And the things that I was looking for, they weren't there. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to create them. I want decorations that are like catered towards women, because we're the ones who decorate our homes for Ramadan. We're the ones who make things fun and festive and beautiful, you know, in our apartments. Even if we don't have children or a husband, like we make our apartments fun and festive and have our girlfriends over. You know, if we do have families, we're the ones who make our homes fun and festive for our husbands and for our kids and for our family members. If we're in our dorms, we make it special. And I felt like there was just a shortage of products that represented the things that I needed. So I said, why not create them? So that's what brought about Ramadan and Juliet. I hope you find my product beautiful, feminine, things that you like, a piece of art that you can put on your wall, because that's how I created it. And that's why I created it with Muslim women in mind, Muslim women who are in college, Muslim women who have families, Muslim women who are in their careers and they have their own homes. I thought of you when I was creating these designs, and I hope that you find some joy and beauty in them. They're bold, bold colors to stand out to match your fancy decor in your home. And I hope that you guys enjoy them. So again, find me ramadanandjuliet.com. I sell Ramadan and Eid banners will be launching soon. So yes, go check them out and I hope you like them.
Wow, mashallah, that is so inspiring. And I agree, there's definitely a need, especially in quarantine when we're celebrating Ramadan, you know, in our own homes for the most part. I think a little bit of decoration can really do a lot. And I'm so happy that you were able to launch last week. How has that been going?
Oh boy, what a busy week it's been. Just trying to make sure that, you know, all of the customers that I have, that they're receiving, you know, the quality that I want them to have, which is their packages on time and quick timing, because Ramadan is right around the corner.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Khadija, I know that this is not your first business venture. So tell me more about other businesses that you've started and maybe some lessons that you've learned from their successes and their failures.
Absolutely. This is such a great question, Asma. So I rewind back into my teenage years. When I was about 15, 16 years old, I took up an interest in sewing. So I started sewing in my 10th grade year of 10th grade. My 10th grade year of school, I made like a large percentage of the clothing that I wore to school that year. So I was like, I just love like clothing. And, you know, and the reason why I started doing that is because I was having a hard time finding, you know, cute Islamic clothing that fit me, my body shape, my style. So I said, I'm going to take it into my own hands. So that's what I did. And then a few years later, I developed a business. And when I was 17, I was like, I'm going to start a clothing company, an Islamic clothing line. And this was before, this is like 2002.
Okay.
Yeah, 2002, when I started all this, and I was like, I'm gonna start this, and because we don't have a lot of Islamic clothing, there was like none at the time.
Right.
Honestly, there was like two or three companies, and so I started doing that for a few years. I used to throw fashion shows in Texas and Dallas and Oklahoma, and it was fun, but I learned a lot of lessons because I didn't have a lot of planning going into that business. I just had this desire to create something that I felt I needed and other people needed, but I didn't have planning and it really burnt me. So I went into the business, I had worked and saved up money and I invested my money into it, but it was all of it was like so emotional. I didn't put a lot of science into structuring my business and it failed.
Right.
I got burnt out and the business failed. So that was a lesson for me. I said, if I ever open a business again, I want to make sure I start establishing things correctly from the ground up. So this time around, I took a really a different approach. So a little bit of background. Both of my parents are business owners, alhamdulillah, successful business owners. And I was
Awesome.
talking to my dad and I said, what's some advice that you would give me, if I'm considering opening a business? And one of the best things that he told me is he said, it's important for you to utilize the resources that are out there. And he recommended that I went through the Small Business Development Administration Center, the one that was closest to me. So I did that, and it was the best decision I've ever made.
Wow.
Because subhanAllah, first of all, it's these are resources that are given to you that are given to you by the government that are they're there, they're established for us to be able to use so that we can learn knowledge behind business, learn about structuring it, learning about loans, learning about grants, learning about all the things that you need to open up a business. And because they want you to be successful, they want your business to thrive. They don't want a whole bunch of businesses opening up in America that are crashing. So I went that approach and it was the best decision ever. Like my mentor has been like holding my hand the whole way, make sure all my documentation looks good. I've learned how to create pricing and wholesale pricing, all these things. So it has helped tremendously and has saved me a lot of headache, I believe, along the way. So structuring it and using the resources that you have, like anyone who asks me now about opening a business, that's the first thing I tell them. Like utilize your resources and check out the Small Business Development Center near you so that you can get support and help and guidance, which is so important because every business owner needs that. It doesn't matter how successful or how unsuccessful you are. We need guidance. We need people who know things that we don't know. So just really starting and not letting it be too emotional. Make sure the business is a smart business for you to go into and that you're able to carry that load responsibly. So that's what I would say about that.
Wow, mashallah, you are just like that had so many gems. So thank you so much. That is really helpful. So I definitely think like mentorship and using the resources around you is so important. So I know that by career you are a speech pathologist. So how do you balance how do you balance being a speech pathologist while also being a business owner?
Oh boy. So it's two different worlds for one. And I think it's funny when I share with people that I'm a speech pathologist and then here I am an artist on the side. Truly art has always been my nature, I believe. So balancing the two. Speech pathology it is demanding. It's taxing and it's a lot of responsibility because if, for me, I work with both. I work with adults and children. And with adults, I deal with neurological development. So I work with people who have had strokes, brain injuries, people who've been in comas, people who are in comas. So I do a variety of things with adults and it can be emotionally draining and taxing. And the same thing whenever it comes to working with my babies. I work with a number of babies and a lot of the babies that I work with do have autism. And so it's a lot of training. It's a lot of training of families and helping support families and learn strategies and tools to help their children start to progress in life in the direction in which they hope for. So learning to balance these things, for one, trying not to bring that stress of work home and that responsibility of work home, leaving it where it is. It's a lot, but it's something that's doable. I personally have had to step back from the full-time role in order to take on this role with Ramadan and Juliet so I can really give it its due diligence. So I've stepped away from my full-time job. I'm doing it part-time now, which is a lot easier on me. And I still get a chance to see my babies and see my adults whenever I need to and provide therapy and treatment.
Right. That's amazing, mashallah, that you get to have such like a positive impact on the people that you're working with. So thank you so much, Khadija, for offering all this like beautiful insight and advice. One last question that I ask at the end of every episode. What is one piece of advice you have for a young Muslim woman trying to figure out her career and her faith?
So many things. I believe early on when I was choosing a career, I got advice from so many people. But I think the most important thing is you need to choose something where you'll be able to show up honestly. So, for example, one thing that's in demand right now is nursing. And I work with nurses hand in hand, you know, in hospitals and nursing homes, wherever the places that I staff, that I'm staffed to, I work with them hand in hand. But just because nursing is in demand right now, if you know it's not your nature to be a caregiver, don't show up to be a nurse. Because you're not going to be able to fully provide the proper service and care to those who you're caring for if you're not really invested. So when you're choosing a career, choose something where you'll be able to really show up, not just for the money or just for the demand. And also think about how these things implicate your life Islamically, because they do matter. You know, like really having to, well, I had a job when I was in college. And I was working at a corporate office for a company, and I was like I was the number one seller every month in my department.
Wow,
I used to bring I used to bring in like 500,000 in revenue, like 500 and 800,000 in revenue at monthly, you know, for my company. I used to clear these accounts, but I absolutely hated it. I hated it. And at that time, my degree was going to school for business. But for me, that wasn't a good thing, because for one, what was stressing me out is I didn't have time to go pray solo. Like the Lord and Asr would come in and I found myself like constantly combining the two or having to make them up. And so think about these implications on your life as well. Like, is this lifestyle, am I going to have, if I'm not a person who's able to speak up for myself, is this going to get in the way of me worshiping my creator? Like, you have to think about both of those things at the same time. So how you're going to be able to show up for whatever career it is that you're choosing, and also the implications that it's going to have on your life. How is this going to affect my iman? How is this going to affect the things that I need to do to keep myself grounded as a Muslim woman? So that's the advice that I would like to give about that. And there's so many things. There's so many ways you can structure your life to fit the needs that you have when it comes to your religious obligations, and also the desires that you have, the things that you want to explore. There's so many ways that you can balance these things out, but just keeping those at the forefront whenever you're thinking and considering what you want to do with your life, because the world is wide and vast. You can choose so many things and still be happy and still be a good Muslim.
Yeah, absolutely. There are like endless opportunities out there. And I feel like sometimes as Muslims, we can feel a little bit limited, but there's so much to do out there. Thank absolutely. You so much. That was such good advice, Khadija. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. Make sure to check out RamadanandJuliet.com and Ramadan and Juliet on Instagram. All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Thank you all for listening to this episode of Muslima Podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe and check out our Instagram at muslima.podcast. Thank you all and see you next week.